Remember, I want to go to the flea market with you.
Yep.
You'll take me, right, Dad?
Yep.
You said you would.
Promise me. You're not a shite buyer.
I'm a shite buyer. Sure. I've given you shite. I gave you two nice old-style shite signs. Yeah, did you get that first one fixed? That nice, that big one?
Yeah,
the barrel?
I kept telling you.
No, I don't want it back. My missus won't let me put it on the wall.
Why not?
In our home? I don't know.
Because it looks tawdry.
Yeah.
But I don't see you as a shite.
Oh, I love shite. I live in close quarters, though.
Missus
won't let me.
You got four, 17 kids now?
Yep.
And
since last week, yep.
Think about how much shite comes with a kid.
Yeah, a lot of shite. They're not allowed to have any shite. Got myself a storage space.
Ooh, that's a slippery slope.
You got one?
Should never get a storage space. So what happened with storage? So I had to get out of LA fast. So I put everything in storage. By the time I'd spent three times the value of what was in the storage unit, I gave it all away to, do you remember Rob Wheeler?
Do I remember Rob Wheeler?
He had the motorbike.
When was this?
Fuck.
When did you have storage in LA?
Am I like 27 years? No, because I've only been here 27. Maybe 25 years. It's probably a quarter century. So I had a place in Hermosa Beach because I thought I was a fucking rock star. I'm earning at the time.
This is before you moved here?
No, I was here. Then I got a place there with this Australian girl I knew.
You were shagging this girl?
Nah. Nah, she was Australian. So anyway, she goes back to Australia. I'm like, I'm not maintaining this place. But then I got all this shit. I was really ill the week I had to get out of the place. So I just shoved it all in storage, which is, a stupid-ass mistake that many millions of people are making. And then, you forget about it, right? Oh, yeah, it's out of sight now. So it was like two goddamn years it sat there draining my money.
Paying the note on that storage.
Yeah, and then I was like, you know what? I know enough people in LA, and I literally just posted on the Ha 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 Go. If you are willing to come get it, there's a storage unit in wherever, Culver City or wherever the fuck, and it's got in it, it's got a really good mountain bike, a motorbike, a bed, like all of this shit. And Rob Wheeler says, I'll have the motorbike. And I said, well, you're going to have to sort of sneak it out because I sneaked it in. Because, it's got petrol in it. You can't put it in a storage unit. And then I said, it's going to be a bitch to start because it always was. But he got it going anyway. And then, do you remember Sean Harkleroad, the man of 1,000 voices?
Yeah, I remember the name. Did he look like Andy Martello a little bit? He had a big blockhead.
Enormous
blockhead.
And he used to do a Clinton impression.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Harkleroad.
He took the contents, the living contents.
Bed,
mountain bike, all this stupid shit that I had. A kitchen table, everything you need to live. And then,
stains on the bed? Any stains on the bed?
Nah.
Menses stains?
No, I don't menstruate.
Well, maybe that gal you're with. An Australian bird.
And what else was there?
What year was this? Weren't you here? I was here. When were you there? I don't remember you being there.
Well, what
was Wheeler doing there? He moved there?
Yeah.
After here?
Yeah. And he gave the bike to Dwyer, who couldn't ride it for shit, obviously, being a fucking hipster, whatever. And so I don't know where I think Wheeler told me some crackhead stole it or something. And he kept finding it halfway down the road, just abandoned and bringing it back because no one could start it.
Well, I want everyone to know what a good guy I am. So I'm going to tell you the story about Rob Wheeler. Do you remember in the 2000 Chicago Comedy Fest, Rob Wheeler was not accepted for his comedy.
Ooh, controversial.
Yeah, and I thought that was he was done wrong. So in one of my sets at the Bible school, I went up and I said a joke or something. And then I said, now I'd like to introduce comedian Rob Wheeler. So he couldn't get in. So I went up and I gave him my time. He bombed.
I was going to say, and then he
bombed.
It
didn't do me any good or him any good.
Classic meaningless gesture of the alt comedy community.
Yes, yes, yes. Rob Wheeler. You stay in touch with Rob, do you?
No, you know what? So he was mates with Trainum. When did I lose touch with Rob? Mm. Probably, you know, early days of social media. He was never like that guy to...
No.
He was a good lad, but...
You want to know what they told him? Or I don't know, maybe it was you that told him this, or maybe your partner there. Why he was not... Because he was upset. He was very upset he didn't get into the festival.
Yeah.
They said he was too old at 28. He was 28 and they said, you're too old. That's what he
said.
That's
bullshit.
That's what he said.
That's made up.
That's what he said.
Bullshit.
I don't know.
It's
too old for the festival.
That used to be the worst week of the year. Like the burning eyes of accusation on any room I walked in.
Yes, yes. Oh, people must have been kissing your ass like crazy. Well... I don't think this guy has ever been in the Chicago Comedy Festival. This next contestant on We Hate Your Comedy. What would you say the percentage of comedians we like is versus we don't like?
We started off.
Yeah.
We plateaued early, and now I feel
we're
like
we're
now I feel like we're on this plunging.
well, let's not. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
Tip my hand here at all.
I think we both went through the same thing, though, because we both expected to come in and hate everything,
right.
Which is where we left comedy, essentially,
yes.
Hating it. Yes. And we're like, okay, well, we're not going to like it. And we were both pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we actually do like this thing still. But now, 6 weeks in, the fatigue is set in already.
The more you watch, the more you hate.
Yes.
Right? If you come in with fresh eyes, you haven't watched much for a while, you might like it.
Maybe we should watch a comedy special once every 3 years. Stay positive.
Do this once every 3 years and see how we like it. Well, tonight we'll be reviewing Larry the Cable Guy's latest special, Remain Seated. And this is one of the few specials where both Mark and I and our producer, Christian, have all watched this program.
Christian's idea.
This was Christian's idea. Yes, we were struggling to come up with someone to watch, or we had forgotten who we were going to watch. And Christian floated Eddie Izzard, which I didn't know if that was real either. And then was it somebody before that? No, it was Eddie Izzard. Then
yeah, it's just Eddie Izzard and Larry the Cable Guy. Eddie Izzard was real. I was really recommending that one. I really like that special. But the second one, Larry the Cable Guy, I didn't think you were that was a joke, but I'm glad you went for it.
No, I was, you know what? Because this is someone I don't think I've ever sat through.
No.
Have you sat through Larry's act?
No, I sat through, you know, like Foxworthy was kind of their group leader. So, mm-hmm. And I liked Foxworthy. I played one of his CDs one time and I was like, oh, yeah. Because obviously there's a stereotype of Americans out there that foreigners like me recognize. I always tell people, basically, foreigners recognize three sorts of American, no, four Americans, right? There's the New York, like, yeah, you know, like
who
Pesci.
Who would be an example?
You know, like Pesci type. Like,
Pesci's not a comedian. Who are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about type of people.
These are archetypes of people.
Archetypes
from,
of
okay,
people.
Not comedians.
Okay. So, you know, you got your New York, New Jersey, like, yeah, wise cracking
yes.
asshole. Then you've got the, like, whoa, surfer dude, West
yes,
Coast
yes,
hippie.
Yes.
Then you've got your southern inbred shit kicker. And then, like, and then there's the Midwest, like, oh, that's like a normal yank. Like a Midwest. Okay, that's sort of someone who isn't, like, off on one on some weird like thing. That's your arc. So they're the four basic American food groups, group types that any foreigner will be like, yes, I understand that.
I notice you excluded the Native American, the American Indian. Is that they're not part of the four food groups?
Well,
the
no.
original American? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Did he leave anybody out there?
You know,
Christian's an American.
Yeah, I'm an American. I've met them all.
I'm guessing.
I think you summed it up. I think those are the four kinds I ever met.
What about the cowboy? That's a shit kicker.
That's a shit kicker.
I mean, that's a shit kicker.
There's some. Yeah, I mean, you would. You're more of an authority on America than us. You know, with your foreign eyes. You
can really, foreign eyes. Yeah. So anyway, Larry the cable guy, but you know, Foxworthy is the.
So you like that? You like these stereotype characters?
I was always fascinated by America, and then my dad was the one that really liked Southern. Well, my dad was a funny sort because he hated America, but he loved like country and Western music, and he really did like parts of America, even though he wouldn't mention it. So like I grew up just country and Western being played all the time, which is kind of typical dad behavior in England.
They don't have that such a thing as that in England, country Western of any kind. Is there a British country and Western? That wouldn't even make sense, right?
I mean, there's like rural yokel music, but it's very ridiculously. You know, it's like some guy dressed in like a farmer's outfit with a what do you call it? You know, accordion, singing stupid shit. Like it's
very unique to America. So okay, so you have an affinity coming in for as you called them. What did you call them? The shit kicker.
Yeah,
shit kicker American. Not sure what that means, but okay. Well, okay.
You don't know what a shit kicker is.
Well, shit kicker is. No, what does that mean? I've heard the term shit kicker.
I picked it up. So here's a weird aside. I used to watch. You remember when they used to make movies that were just a series of sketches and they just stitch them together? Like Kentucky Fried Movie is one of the best films, comedies
History
ever.
Of the World part.
There's Amazon True. Women on the Moon is a good example.
The gods
of that.
Must be crazy.
No. That's not a sketch thing, is it? Anyway. And I found this one late night one time, and this guy in it is like, "You just wait a minute, you dumb shit kicker." And the guy's like, "You call me a shit kicker?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, that's why I've got pointed boots, because he's a country guy." Anyway, no, this is, I'll cut this out. Wait, don't even bother, I'm cutting this out.
Okay, whatever. But the term is meant for kicking shit off your boots or something?
Yeah, I suppose.
Okay.
It's just a good one.
They call boots shit kickers.
Shit kickers.
Yeah, you know, like that's
kicking
a cowboy
shit
thing.
Out of the way.
Yeah, because you got to kick shit when you're walking along the.
That's why they're pointing.
The prairies. Yeah, yeah, to deflect the shit either direction.
Wow. This is an informative program. Right, people learning things here every week.
Learning anything except
we learned what a limey means on this program with shit kickers.
Any sort of racial slur, you're going to learn about it.
Not from me.
Right here.
Not from you. You know them all.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next week we'll get out the viz, go through some of those.
Yeah,
those are good. All right, so Larry the Cable Guy is one of the, what do they call these guys? Do they call them the rednecks of comedy? You know, like they call the black fellas the
kings
of comedy.
I think it was redneck comedy tour, right?
Yeah.
It was him, Ron White, and Foxworthy.
Yeah, yeah. Was there somebody else too? I don't know. Looking at Christian, he doesn't seem up on this genre very well. Okay, so I'd never seen Larry. Let's talk about the name Larry the Cable Guy. I'm sure everybody knows this but me, but I assume this man, he worked for the cable company at one point.
I have
must
no idea.
Have. Yeah. Or did he lay cable like a Wichita lineman?
No, I think I remember him saying one time he just started. He was there's footage of him as a regular stand-up comedian in a like 80s, you know, sports coat.
Oh, really?
Doing bullshit. Yeah, yeah.
Doing Seinfeld?
Yeah, just doing regular stuff. And then I think one day he was goofing around or something, and you know, people were like, "Ooh, that's the gold," and so he developed it.
What's the gold?
You know, the dumbass, you know, guy with the torn-off sleeves and all that stuff.
So that you're saying he's not this shit kicker.
Nope.
He's a New York type.
No, I thought. Did you notice during his special, a couple of times he dropped the accent?
Yeah, I did notice that.
You're not just saying that.
No, I did. I did.
Right at the end, and he thanks the audience. He's like, there's no trace of it and stuff. So I looked him up. He is from Oklahoma/Florida. Which, that's not going to give you that. I don't know much about Oklahoma. I always thought it was a weird place. Like, is what is that of the four American groups?
No, that's Shit Kicker, for sure. I mean, it's right just above Texas. It's clearly in the south, well below the Mason-Dixon line.
But very, so that's little south. Very little is known about Oklahoma, I feel.
Yeah. Well, we should really do research about
I knew two Oklahomans. They weren't shit kickers. They were just...
Who? Timothy McVeigh?
No.
And who else?
There's just two lads that were in the Lodge cast. Yeah. And they weren't, you know, yeehaw.
The Drury Brothers.
No. They're from Denver. No, they were just, they would, you would, I would call them Midwestern.
Okies is what we used to call those guys. Okies from Oklahoma.
All right.
Used to say on the Oklahoma license plate, Oklahoma is okay. And then they thought, geez, this is a real, like.
It's clever.
Yeah, no, they thought it was, you know, belittling or like, you're just, it's generic as could be. Or,
just okay.
Yeah.
All
just right. Okay. Okay. then, so we don't know whether he actually worked for the cable company, but do we know where this term "get her done" came from or what it means? Get her done. The whole backdrop of the show says
he had a sign dangling. Done. Yeah, he had a hat on, a sign dangling, and people
get her done.
People were shouting it at him, and he I feel like he's probably tired of it because he seemed to want to get it out.
Yeah, he
of
didn't
the way.
Do much. Get her done.
No, he just did it at the top. He's like, let's get this out of the way.
Get it done.
And then like, okay, I've done my duty, right?
Yeah. It's so fun to say, though.
But have it hanging on a sign, that's the strong branding statement.
Yeah, yeah. And he's on tour, right? He's like, I was in Minneapolis last night, big get her done. And then, you think some asshole's got to come and lift that big get her done sign down and like carry it? Where, how do they transport that from city to city? That's big, right? Yeah. Is there... That would take an 18-wheeler, I think.
No.
Unless it folds
down. It wasn't
down.
That big.
Unless it folds.
I think you get that in the back of a flatbed.
No. No. That one thing was
signs.
Huge.
Signs aren't as big as you think they are.
What the hell
on
kind
stage.
Of thing does it? Signs aren't as big as I think they are?
They're not. Once you, if you actually get next to a backdrop piece of equipment or whatever... You're like, oh, it's not as big as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
That get R done. I'll bet you could get it in a moving truck.
It's not get R done, all right? It's get her done.
Yeah.
Get her.
Really.
Get
really
her.
Stuck with you, didn't it?
Yeah. I've been saying it ever since last night. All right, so you watched this morning. How did it go in a Friday morning viewing of Larry the Cable Guy's Remain Seated?
Well, I was kind of annoyed about having to do it, obviously.
Well, you're in a bad mood.
Yeah, I got my morning laid out, and all of a sudden I'm on shit patrol.
Well, you knew we were watching last night. Why didn't you stay up last night with us and watch it? We watched it last night.
No, yeah. I have to go to sleep at...
Like, what time do you turn in?
I turn in around 9:30, half an hour of reading.
What are you reading
boom,
right now?
Lights out.
What's on the bedstead?
Short Stories of Truman Capote.
No shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had short stories.
Yeah, that's
his whole bag. Was he a magazine writer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're really good, so I always read them every few years.
Well,
what are
you're supposed
you
to
reading?
Ask me. Thank you. I was waiting for you. Nobody asks you what you're reading unless they want you to ask them.
All right, so what are you reading?
Well, right now I happen to be reading Don DeLillo, End Zone, from 1978. About
is that American football?
About American football college. On chapter 3.
Fiction or non-fiction?
That is fiction. Don DeLillo, you might be familiar with the book Libra about the Lee Harvey Oswald. Or White Noise, which was just a motion picture starring Adam Driver and Don Cheadle and Greta Gerwig last year. Okay, moving on. what do you think about the title, Remain Seated? Go ahead and remain seated. Remain seated. Meaning like...
Yeah, but what is that?
You don't get it?
Well, Well, he did it at the start, didn't he? They gave him a standing ovation when he came out, and he said, "Remain seated. Don't."
No, they didn't give him one.
They
did. That's why he's saying remain seated.
They
don't say remain seated to somebody that's standing.
Yeah, you do. Say sit back down.
You say, "Will you help me out here?"
I saw some people standing up in the beginning,
yeah.
And that's when he used the remain seating thing. And as far as I could understand, it was around the same time he was talking about his age. So I think he was telling his fan base, like, I get it. You can't stand up out of your chair anymore because you're as old as I am.
They say remain seated means you're already seated. Remain seated.
Whatevs. They stood up. The camera panned. There's people standing giving an ovation. He says something like, don't rush the stage.
Remain standing. You're thinking remain standing.
All right. Well, they were standing.
I didn't think of it as a jab at his older audience. I took it as a self-deprecating title, like, people don't stand up for me because I'm not very good. Just remain seated. Remain seated.
Probably. I mean, he started
You're
off
sitting
with...
sitting down.
He was self-deprecating from the get-go.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, that's my first note on him.
Yeah, you gotta look good at that. Yeah, what's going on at Cracker Barrel? If you guys are all here, I don't know who's at Cracker Barrel. Oh, just a wedding, and the father and the daughter went home together.
I'm really trying to work that out. Can you do a Larry the Cable Guy voice?
No, because you're doing it wrong. Because he's squeaky, isn't he?
Daggum.
Well, he drops into it occasionally, but mostly he's got
a higher pitch,
irritating high pitch squeak.
Oh,
that's what I feel. You can't skate past the fact that it's in Joliet, which was weird.
Yeah.
That was weird, like, to tape there.
It's like, all right, let's just tape it tonight. Where are we, Joliet? It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, why Joliet?
It's the same theater I last saw Richard Jenny before he offed himself.
Richard Jenny offed himself?
You know damn well he did. We've
I did not!
Talked about this.
I don't remember that. I mean, I remember us talking about Richard Jenny, but... I don't remember him offing himself.
Years ago.
I don't think so. I don't think that's true. Roll the tape back, Christian.
Yeah.
Pull that tape.
I don't have that footage
of me talking
wiki
about
it.
That.
He
did? How did he off himself?
Shotgun to the head. His
what?
Missus found him. His missus found him. I think he was still alive, and then he died shortly afterwards. Quite tragic for someone who's very, very good at comedy, but...
Wow.
Speaking of looking things up, Larry the Cable Guy, there's a character that he created based on his uncle, I guess.
So he's not even a cable guy.
No.
That's some bullshit. You can't call yourself Larry the Cable Guy unless you were a cable guy. Right?
It's just a character. That's what he always says. But anyway, yeah, that's the thing. Anyway, Joliet, weird choice for a shit kicker comedian to record essentially Heart of the Midwest.
Well,
although it is a shit kicker part of the Midwest.
Yeah, that's big Trump country down there, Joliet. He's playing to his base.
Joliet's like known throughout the world because of Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
So I knew of Joliet.
Before you even came here?
I knew of Aurora because of Wayne's World. It's funny to think, you know, these towns are known.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never spent much time in Joliet.
There's nothing there, is there?
A big prison, Supermax there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an odd choice to me, too, that he would be in Joliet. But, you know, I guess it doesn't. You know, he must have hit a winner in that one. And he said, well, let's just use this one. I don't know how these stand-ups decide where and when. Are they splicing together multiple shows to make one special? Right, I know that some do that, right? Like they'll record it in the same outfit, maybe with the same backdrop, because you don't see the audience necessarily, right? Like, so in case you want to like put the best of each one.
You would easily tell the difference between.
You would?
But
not if it's zoomed in.
Yeah, I was going to say if they did close shots, but it's like you know, I had a manager or agent this week ask me, "Have you recorded at the Lincoln Lodge yet?" We've had a few.
Who?
Well, mostly local yokels, but I mean, there is one that's on like Amazon Prime by Dina Hashem. for instance. So I just sent a link and said, here's what it looks like if you record it.
Here's what it looks like. Oh, you're talking about, I was thinking audio, but yes, yeah.
No, the full Monty, you know, all the cameras and all the bollocks.
I had somebody reach out today that wants to record here, that you might know.
Come on,
Brian
then, give me
Petrovka.
The name.
Are you familiar with Brian Petrovka?
Yeah.
You'd like to film a special here. I'll be producing it.
Unprompted by you, of course.
Wait. All right, so we haven't even really gotten into this.
How many minutes are we at?
We're at about 25.
This is a big show.
This is a
Super Bowl special. I'm not liking him at first. You know, I don't want to hear about Cracker Barrel and incestual weddings and waking up with the sweats. Oh, that wasn't a bad joke, right? How he says, we're going to work out, but I woke up with the sweats. So I guess that counts as well. Get her done. Daggum, woke up sweating.
He came out firing.
He did? See, I thought it wasn't very good. Talking about his clothes and the weather.
He did want a good one. He got the keys to the city, but then the following week they changed all the locks.
Come on, these are terrible jokes.
No, I'm just saying it was serviceable.
Okay, how about where he says, you guys got emotional support. I got an emotional support stripper.
Yeah, that's pandering.
I'm doing kind of a sling blade, I realize, when I when I do Larry. But then he starts to heat up, right? And I'm not feeling him. Christian, I don't know where you're at in the first 10 minutes. What are you feeling? Are you liking it?
I actually had that one joke about, sorry how I'm dressed, it just came from a wedding. Yeah. And I thought that was kind of clever. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this guy is something, like maybe he has like snuck in these really good jokes into this stupid act. But then he followed that with the support strippers joke, and I realized, no, I was right. This is just how it's going to be for the next 55 minutes.
Yes. Just one-off jokes that aren't really connected. Yeah. And he starts to, I think he comes out a little loose. You like it, but I don't
I don't like it. Yeah. I'm just saying serviceable as a comedy form.
Have you laughed at this point in the first 10 minutes out loud?
Not really. No. He did a good joke. He goes, I got to go to the supermarket to get some of those feminine products. And then he goes, carrots, celery, and lettuce. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
I snagged on that one. I was like, oh, you know, that's a good take. I'm not liking it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not liking it either. Yeah, right? You talked about cabbage versus lettuce. I thought that was good. Right?
Yeah.
Cabbage and lettuce, they look alike.
Yep.
Yeah. Good observational. He's got some Seinfeld. His observational comedy.
Yep.
You know? Then you get the Fitbit. You got a Fitbit for Christmas and a dialed 911. Yeah. Okay. Not feeling that one. But then he gets into the meat and potatoes of the act, Walmart, right?
He's got a block. Dwelled on that.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I put this weird to make fun of your own demographic.
No, they want it. They want it. It's like black comedians making fun of black people. Well, yeah. White people. But do white comedians make fun of white? I don't know. Like, I think it would be funny for a white comedian to go up and just do all white humor. Like, white people are unbelievable. How white people do that. No, I think that's
they do that
on brand. They do, yeah, but they don't say white people.
No, they do. Let's say white folks do this or whatever. It's an attempt to diffuse.
Black folks say white folks. White people don't say white folks.
Well, they don't say white folks. They say, oh, I do this because I'm a white person. You know what I mean? Like the whole self-deprecating. But yeah, that Walmart bit, my God, did it go on. I mean, and it was just a crappy excuse for working class white people are shit thing, right?
Well, I mean, he's finding things one after the other that all these people in the audience, any blue collar person can relate to. Going to Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Being fat.
You see, I'm really tired of the fat bit. Like, oh God, early on.
Go. Top five fat comedians of all time. Go.
Fat comedians?
Yeah.
I can't do it straight off.
Louis Anderson, go.
Louis Anderson.
Patrice O'Neill.
He's fat? That fat?
Yeah, he was big.
He's a big lad, yeah. No, because I'm going to tell an English one, and you're not going to know
Buddy,
who he is.
Buddy Hackett.
Les
Benny
Dawson.
Hill. I don't know who that is. No, we're in America. Larry the Cable Guy.
A fat yank.
Yeah, fat yank. John Panette. Gabriel Iglesias, fat. Delta Burke.
Are you saying top?
What?
Like top popular or top as in talent?
As we're going through this and he's doing more and more fat jokes, I'm realizing, oh, this he's one of our great fat comedians, stand-up comedians.
I got really tired of that angle.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am personally quite, because I'm English, I'm quite hard on fat people.
Because there aren't a lot of fat people?
No, not so many in England, though there are now. But it used to just be a cheap, you know. If you were even, and you're talking about people who aren't even remotely American size. You know what I mean? Like,
there's fat and then there's American
fat.
We
had a mate at uni, we called him Fatty. And he wasn't really, he was maybe slightly overweight, but we said, we called him Fatty because he had a fat attitude.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
And so,
what does a fat attitude mean?
Just like he would never play sports. He was
lazy?
Yeah, and so we gave him the nickname Fatty, and it really used to like confuse people because they'd come in the room and we'd be like, hey, Fatty. And they'd be looking around going, where's the fat guy? And we'd be like, no, it's him. He just has a fatitude, as it were.
Kind of like calling a big, tall guy tiny.
Yeah, I had a mate who was 6'3". We called him Lofty. Was no, that? that's the same, though, isn't it? So, no, it's wrong.
Well, I'm not one for fat humor, necessarily, either. But he does have one joke in here that kills me. It's like, you ever see that commercial with the starving kids in Africa? You know, feed this child for 8 cents a day. That was good, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, 8 cents a day? I eat for $250 a day.
He says, you can't feed a gerbil for 8 cents
right,
a day.
Right, right. You can't.
You know, that's weird.
That was good.
I was told he was like very, you know, he's reviled in the, you know, alt community as being someone who was made racist, homophobic, jokes. Yeah. But he didn't really. Yeah, you know, I was waiting for him to go down that hole. Never really did. I'm wondering that's because of Netflix, though.
Oh.
Like, this is Netflix bankrolled this. They are not going to be happy if I pull my usual shit. So he did it a couple of times. He called a pajama sissy boy, I noted. And
well, how about the one where he's like, my buddy opened up a health store. I'm trying to help him out, so I dressed up as a trans fat, get her done. And then they fucking went crazy, the people.
Oh, yeah.
You notice when they go crazy when he throws any kind of like barb out there at a homosexual or something.
Oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah, and he was probably, I think he was having to rein it in because he's like, okay, this
maybe
is a
right.
Netflix.
Yeah.
Because I kept expecting, I've seen him do a joke one time where they had like a spotlight and he had two shadows on the wall. Like behind him, and he goes, I keep thinking it's two black guys creeping up on me. This is what he said on stage. Yeah. Well, and I'm like, okay.
It doesn't play.
And I'm like, okay, well, you know, he knows his demographic and he knows they're going to eat that
shit.
They
love that. Woo!
But he, yeah, this was very tame.
And then he mentioned Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, the Jenner.
You got a big whoop for that one.
Yeah.
Okay. What was your favorite joke of his at any point in the show? Both
probably the feminine products one that I always
really?
Mentioned. Yeah.
Christian, what was your favorite joke of
his? The one right up front. I like the misdirection of the sorry how I'm dressed, and you don't expect him to say he came from somewhere even classier, you know.
That only tells me you did not watch this whole program.
You're right. I fell asleep. Yeah. And you know what? I fell asleep twice, and the first time I woke back up to an applause break, and I rewound it to see what I had missed. And when I realized what they were applauding for, I said, next time I'm not waking back up.
That's great. That's hilarious.
God, how many jokes did he do about shitting and the toilet? Oh, my God.
I don't know. I remember the one where his uncle or somebody's ball got sucked down.
Yeah, just any time he felt the pace slackening, he's like, let's get back to the toilet.
Bread and butter, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, any good comedian goes right back to potty humor. You can appreciate that. My favorite joke, I think, well, the first one I really laughed out loud was first of many. He's talking about another wedding, right? He did that wedding bit at the top, and then he goes and talks about another wedding. He's like, "Here, you ever get invited to a wedding? You don't even really know the person. It's like, it feels like a bill in the mail." I thought that was funny. And then he goes, "Yeah, I went to this wedding. The fat woman. he's like, and all the bridesmaids were fat, and their corsages looked like personal pan pizzas." That was fucking great.
Well, I mean, what is that? What is that? Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it does. They're so fat, or I don't know, because they're going to eat the corsage. It's a personal pan pizza instead of a flour. You know, like it's a small pizza.
Is it? Oh, okay. he did do a good Halloween bit where he talked about going out on Halloween with his kids, and there are people dressed as him Halloweening, and then the guy's like, "Hey, it's Larry the Cable Guy at the door," and the guy
he sucks.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. That was like a bit of, that was like, okay,
that was self-deprecation.
He's not talking about shitting and the usual bullshit anymore. Now I'm getting into it. And then he ended with that thing about cars and stuff, and I was interested in that.
Oh yeah, how he's the guy from Cars. Did you know he was Mater from Cars?
I've never watched that film because I'm not a child. I don't have children.
No, I guess you wouldn't if you weren't.
you must be over the watching child movies phase by now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you leave that behind as a parent? Like, all of a sudden, you're watching children's films, which you haven't seen in decades.
Well,
now you're watching them like every 10 goddamn minutes, and then it suddenly stops.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's not that abrupt, but none of those films I really ever saw. I only saw the first 10 minutes. Because when you're a parent of young children and those movies go on, that is your time to fucking knock out, right? So as soon as that movie goes on and your kids watch the movie, you're going to sleep immediately. So I never saw any of them. I mean, I saw the first 10 minutes. I know about them, but I never made it through a single.
Didn't they make you sit through them and discuss
them? Yeah, but I would always nod off, you know. Yeah. Take an oxy.
Because that's like a parent. I thought that's like a parent cliche. Like, oh, I had to watch Scooby-Doo 87 times.
Yeah. 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 No.
But yeah, you were just an absent parent.
No, I was there. I was there, but I was sleeping. I didn't, you know, all you got to do is be there. You don't have to watch it. They're not watching you watch it. It's not like when you go to the pictures with your old lady and she's looking over at you to see if you're enjoying it or if you're asleep.
Yeah.
They don't care. Yeah.
I suppose modern times you could just have your phone with your shitty Celtics game playing and you're just eyeing that and pretending.
Oh, the Celtics, yeah.
Eyeing that and pretending to...
Yeah,
to...
yeah you could. You could. Well, listen. We could go over more. He had a lot of bits. Wait, hey, Christian, when you texted this the other day, I didn't ask you. I meant to. You said, "Hey, watch Larry the Cable Guy. Get ready for 1/6 jokes."
Yeah, I thought he was just going to make January 6th jokes the whole time.
Oh, January 6th.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
Oh, he didn't make a single one that I heard. Well, you didn't hear.
He probably doesn't want people to figure out that he was there.
He was?
Yeah. Well, most of his fans might have been.
Oh yeah.
I didn't get the ones. I thought like 1/6.
1/6. I thought it was like one. Yeah. It was like some kind of one meter
six.
For comedy. Yeah. Right?
I thought that might be confusing.
Yeah, it was like 1/6 meter. I'm out of it. I don't know what that means.
I thought you meant 1/6 jokes would be any good.
Yeah.
Even that was an overestimation, or would have been.
January 6th.
Don't you wonder when you see someone with an act like this? How they remember it all. I mean, there's so many punchlines. Yeah,
we used to always
seriously.
Joke about like people who would watch people do comedy, but like, how do you remember all the joke? Right, like where do you get your jokes from? No, but I agree with you. How do you remember?
Because most modern comedians are stretching one bit paper thin over 5 to 10 minutes.
Bad comedians are.
No, I think most modern comedians are stretching over 5 to 10 minute bits. So it's maybe 5 or 6 big chunks is one special. And that is easy to remember because you're remembering 6 to blah, blah, blah. When you're doing what Larry the Cable Guy is doing, which is just like boom, bada bing, bada boom, bada bing, bada boom, how the hell do you remember them all?
Because, well, I'll explain to you because I'm a comedian and done many shows. You're right. You create chunks and you live within those chunks, right? Each chunk is its own set, if you will. Right. And once you walk into that room where that chunk is, you know, you're looking around the room, you're visualizing around the room, all the jokes that are in that room, and you just kind of grab them off the wall. And then when you can't find any more of them, right, or then you walk out of that room, you go to the next room and you do the next jokes that are in that room. And until you get to the end, it's like walking through a house, boom, and then you're at the end.
What about
I just
Mitch
gave
Hedberg?
A genius. That's different. Yeah, he's must have a different mnemonic for remembering his because they're not chunks. Or maybe they are chunked in some way, but like it's mnemonics. Memory devices that help you remember these things. Everybody's got a different process, but yeah. That's why I think, especially early on when we watch these sets, you see guys that are their jokes seem disjointed and they're not connected because they're still feeling their way around the house, right? Like where they are. And then they're like, once they get their bearings and I'm in this room now. I know all the jokes in this room. Boom. And then you remember as many as you can in whatever order. Then you go to the next one. And some rooms are great. Some rooms suck, whatever, but save your best room for last. You want me to do a seminar here at the Lincoln Lodge College?
Did you read this in the Judy Carter book?
No, I don't know who that is.
That's the definitive book about
on comedy?
Yeah. No.
I never took any comedy classes.
Well, I mean, that much is obvious, but where did you get this room bullshit
from? I just made it up right here. I just made it up on the spot. No, but you know what I've in watching this tripe every week.
You
tripe,
just presented it like as a comedy creed.
I know. I'm that convincing. No, I just made that up off the top of my head. No, but as we've been watching these specials every week, I start to block. I told you at the beginning, your notes are terrible. Mine are.
Oh, no, only on this. Normally I have to.
I've got a system here. I've got a flow chart. And once you're done, you can see where everything was and went and how it connected to the last thing, if they're good, right? And what I want to say is, and I don't know where we're at in this program, but I like Larry the Cable Guy. I'm just going to say that. I like him. I like his act. He made me laugh. It was a little long in the tooth. I don't think it needed to be over an hour, but...
Yeah.
At one point, I think the funniest thing was... I wrote down, it was 27 minutes or something. Oh, yeah. 27 minutes in. He says, good night. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's over.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I was like, that was awesome. And then I was like, oh, and I hit the pause button or whatever so you could see him. And it was like 40 minutes left. I was like, oh, Jesus, this isn't even close.
He did that twice, but he did it both times on a, quote, offensive joke.
Oh, he did. That's how he...
That was like he got. I think the first one was like the trans joke or something, and he clearly knew. Okay, this is as far as as far as I'm going to be able to push this with Netflix, and he said that, but then carried on. But if you go back and look, he did it twice, and it was very clearly on things where you'd be like, ooh, you know what I mean? Ooh.
Yeah, I don't remember the second one. I know the second one came later. You know, 3/4 of the way through, but it made me think like these. And I think we talked about this before. These fucking specials are too long. All of them.
Yeah.
Right. When we were growing up, not you maybe, but you and I, the comedy special was a half hour special.
Yep.
Probably 26 minutes when you.
Oh my God! The amount of emails we get. I want to run my hour. Hour. You don't have a fucking hour.
Oh yeah! Right.
People literally have comedians now have I want to run my hour.
Yeah.
Now, why don't you run your 10 goddamn minutes?
They want to stretch out, you know? They want to go into all the rooms that I talked about. Right? I told you when I was running the Four Trays comedy show not too long ago. Pandemic shut it down, but Sarah Sherman wanted to come over and do her hour. She had an hour, she felt like. She was very interested in doing an hour. I was more than willing to let her do
it. An hour's like one joke for Sarah.
Yeah.
She was so good at like the relentlessness of like relentlessly pushing it, which you would love, of course.
Yeah. No, I think she's my favorite on Saturday Night Live. She's so great. Yeah. These specials are too long.
Yep.
There was the old half hour comedy hour on HBO.
Yeah.
That's plenty. All right. So I could go through many more of this guy's jokes. I liked his doctor's Mercedes-Benz joke where he said, my buddy doesn't like that his doctor has a Mercedes-Benz. So what's wrong with you?
He thinks he's better than us.
Yeah, he thinks he's better than us. He is better than you. He's a doctor. What do you want him to drive, a 78 Plymouth? That was good. He had a lot of jokes, a lot of good references. Oak Ridge Boys, there's a lot of good stuff in there. I'm giving him big toes up.
No, so here's what I'll say. It was a bomb.
And what?
Mainly because of length. Like, if I went through that and did, okay, let me hack out the bits that I like, I could maybe get a tight 10 out of it. And I'll be like, if you just did the 10, I'd give you a thumbs up.
10 minutes?
Yeah. But you did 70 minutes. That's an hour too long. So it's a thumbs down.
So, but because you're saying the jokes weren't quality enough to keep going?
I'm fat, I'm fat, I took a shit. I'm fat, I'm fat, I shit. I'm fat, I'm... all right. Whatevs.
Part of the reason these specials are so long, I think, is because these people pay a lot of money to go to a big theater. They're not going to see Larry for fucking 10 minutes or a half hour. They got to get an hour.
You could edit it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because the live show is that long doesn't mean the edit has to be.
Who's the longest working comedian right now? Obviously, it's not Bill Cosby. He's no longer working, I don't think.
What do you mean working?
What I mean is, who's doing the longest sets right now? What comedians?
Well, Chappelle, isn't it?
Is he?
Chappelle comes out and he's like 3 hours.
He does?
Yeah, he's like famous for it.
I saw him not long ago. It wasn't a 3-hour show. It was an hour.
I don't know. Well, apparently he's disposed to doing that.
Yeah, he's good. Let's see if we can get him on the program. Can we get him in here next week? Yeah. Can we talk to him? Is he coming through?
Is
the lodge?
On a farm in Ohio.
He did. He does.
Yeah.
All right. So you're giving it a bomb. Christian, you will be the deciding vote. And though you only saw the first 5 minutes of Larry the Cable Guy remain seated and woke up to some canned laughter.
You know, I'll give it a whatever our version is of the thumbs up, simply because his jokes weren't quite for me, but he has manicured this character and this style that he's able to reach out to a theater full of people and get them all on his side. And that is an entertainer when it comes down to it. They flashed to the audience at one point, and one guy was dressed like him, wearing the cutoff sleeves. You know, this guy went to dinner with his wife and then to this show dressed like that, and that was okay. And if you can create that, you're doing something right.
I agree with Christian and everything he says. Mm-hmm. You are out of touch with the American people, my friend. These people.
All four kinds of them.
Yeah, all four kinds. They represent America today. What Americans want. Larry speaks for all Americans. Not just not the four. Well, all four, yeah. Not just the one, all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's doing good work.
So wrong. All right.
I don't want the show to end. I could talk about Larry all day. Great choice.
Fade to black. The music plays.